From WGCU, this is the Gulf Coast Life Book Club. I'm Carrie Barber. In Tamar Shapiro's new novel, Restitution, we meet Kate and her brother, Martin. They were raised in the U.S. by their single mother, who had fled East Germany with her parents in the 1950s and never quite felt at home in her new country. When the Berlin Wall falls, the siblings are faced with the question of whether they should go back to East Germany to claim the home their mother and grandparents left behind. But when they go to the house, they find some family secrets, which cause division. I'm thrilled to talk with the author today, Tamar Shapiro. Welcome to the Gulf Coast Life Book Club.
Thank you so much for having me on.
This book is set partly in the U.S. and partly in Germany, which is also true of your life, right?
That is correct. So like Kate and her brother, like Kate and Martin, I was raised in largely in central Illinois by a German mother, not a single mother. My father was very much present, but still I was raised in Illinois with strong connections to Germany. But that is about as far as the autobiographical nature of the work goes. The rest of it is truly fiction. It's not my family's story. But I do, I do share that with them, which is partially what prompted my interest in these themes.
And how do you think it has affected you? I always think it's interesting when people sort of have a foot in two cultures. How do you think it's affected you just as a person to have grown up that way?
I think it's shaped absolutely everything about me, actually. And I should say it wasn't just that my mother was German. It's that I spent an awful lot of time in Germany. We spent months every single summer in Germany. I spent a number of school years in Germany as a child. I've lived in Germany as an adult. And I think having two homes is both an amazingly wonderful thing to feel so at home in two places. And yet there's also a way in which you always are, sort of missing where you aren't. So it's this strange mix of adding to life, a richness to life, and at the same time, never feeling quite like you know where you belong.
Yes, that's so interesting. And you must speak that. Do you speak the language?
I do. So I grew up speaking German. Mm-hmm. I will say I grew up in a time when speaking two languages was not necessarily considered a great thing. There were all these educational theories about how it slowed down educational development. And so it was less that my mother spoke German to us all the time, which she should have probably, but it was more that those summers in Germany, my aunts and uncles only spoke German to us. And in fact, I didn't discover until much later as an adult, when I was back in Germany visiting with my husband, that they all spoke perfect English. I had no idea as a child.
That's hilarious. When you wrote this book, was it hard to write about Germany and the German culture in English? Did you find yourself kind of wanting to describe things in German?
Yes and no. I was actually living in Germany while I wrote at least the first couple drafts of this book. I was living in Leipzig, which is a city in former East Germany. And so I was surrounded by German, the language, also the culture. And I think that's what mattered most. I don't know that it was difficult for me to write it in English. And in fact, though I describe myself as fluent in German, and though I read German literature all the time, I do think it would have been harder for me to write it in German. Even when I'm away from Germany for a year, year and a half, the language does become rustier, and I haven't used it as much in my life as I've used English. So I wouldn't say they're completely equivalent. Someday I'd love to experiment and try to write a book in German. That would be really fun. But this one was definitely a book I wanted to write in English, also because in some senses, it's a bit of an outsider perspective on Germany's division and reunification, because the narrator is also a bit of an outsider. You know, she's coming at this as an American with German connections, just like me.
And speaking of that, I wanted to ask you, you decided to write it in first person from Kate's point of view. I'm just curious, what made you want to go that direction?
The easiest answer is that's just how the story came to me. But of course, it wasn't really that easy, because telling it from Kate's point of view did also create some problems. There are entire sections of the book, the grandparents' life in East Germany in the 1950s. Kate wasn't even alive at that time, so she couldn't possibly have known about it. So I sort of created this situation where there are a fair number of stories within stories in the book. And there were times while I was writing it where I thought maybe I should just put it all in third person and then I wouldn't have to worry about any of this. But I think there were a couple reasons it was important to me that it be in Kate's perspective. And one was this feeling that she's a little bit of an outsider. This book is a lot about outsiders and insiders. And so to have it told from the perspective of somebody who is not quite fully in the culture and trying to understand the history and trying to understand the politics was very interesting to me. And then I also really like the fact that it allows the reader to discover things alongside Kate. And by that, I mean both learn the history alongside Kate because she was not raised knowing a lot about, the German history. Her mother never wanted to talk much about her childhood. And so she's learning about the history and the politics. She's also learning about her family. And I really wanted the reader to be right there with her and to be frustrated with her and to be surprised with her. And I thought that really would only work in first person.
Yes, that's really interesting. And it's like we readers are learning that history too.
There's an awful lot of English language literature about World War II, but there's actually very little about what happened afterwards. There's lots of German language literature about it, but not much English language literature. So I do think it was important to me also to have Kate be someone who could guide readers who are very unfamiliar with that period of history and what happened in Germany, guide readers through it. And I thought it was easiest for her to be that kind of guide if she herself was sort of struggling to understand it.
I found this really poignant. At one point, as Kate matures, she kind of realizes some misperceptions that she had in the past, which I think is a common thing as we mature and we kind of think back on the way we were perceiving things as a younger person. Was that difficult? That seems like such a nuanced thing to write about. Can you talk a little bit about writing about that?
I guess I didn't find that so difficult to write about. Perhaps, maybe that's because I'm actually a pretty sentimental, nostalgic person myself. So I do have a tendency to look back and think over, things that happened in my life and reevaluate them and analyze them and probably overthink them. And so maybe that sort of tendency to reassess things that happened long ago is part of me as well. And so perhaps that's why I didn't find that so difficult to write. I think it's just a natural part of what we all do in our lives. Maybe some people think about it more explicitly than others, but we're always, everything that happens to us in our lives reshapes or throws into a different light what came before it as well. And I guess I'm just really fascinated by that. Like I said, just sort of memory is really a big obsession of mine. And this is just another version of memory, of sort of the inaccuracy of memory, or maybe inaccuracy isn't really the right word because it's not that it's inaccurate. It's just that it takes on different meanings at different times, depending on what's happening in one's life.
Right. And it seems to me like some people kind of go back and think about those things and how our perceptions have changed. And some people just kind of keep it moving. They don't
Well,
really think about it.
that's part of what I was trying to explore. I mean, that's the mother in this book, right? She's very explicit, the keep it moving person. And in this book, that's in part shaped by her past and, not wanting to revisit things that happened in her past, given that she lived through some pretty extreme historical times. But she's very much that kind of person. And in some ways, I think Kate is reacting against her mother in being the opposite. She's the opposite person who's always thinking back.
Yes. And speaking of that, this book is also very much about intergenerational trauma and the mother sort of passing on. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just how those things affect a family, not just the person who went through them, but they affect for generations. Can you talk a little bit about how you went about writing about that? Was that something you kind of had to do some book research on, or did you just kind of feel your way through it? Or can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to be living in Leipzig while writing the early drafts of this book. I mean, luck is maybe not quite the right word because I might have been writing a totally different book if I hadn't been living there. It wasn't pure coincidence, but I had a lot of opportunity to do research, and of course, I read a lot of books. I read novels. I also read, I mean, I read legal treatises because, of course, at the heart of this, there's a property dispute, and I had to understand the pretty intricate laws that governed property disputes around the time of reunification. I read histories, but I also just talked to a lot of people. We had friends, most of our friends during those years that we were living over there had been very young when the wall came down, but they still had childhood memories, and their parents and their aunts and their uncles and their, childhood neighbors had many more memories. And so it was wonderful because I was able to speak with a lot of those people. Our friends connected me to just incredible conversation partners over cake, with coffee, and then we would just chat. And so, yes, it was research, but it was also a ton of fun. And it did definitely give me an insight into how people treated this history really differently. And some people talked about it all the time, and that can lead to one form of passing on sort of history, but others never talked about it. And that's, of course, a very different form that can also lead to intergenerational trauma. So I sort of saw how different ways of dealing with the past can rear their heads in the present.
Oh, that's so interesting. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Tamar Shapiro about her first novel, Restitution, and you are listening to the Gulf Coast Life Book Club. Speaking of law, you are trained as a lawyer, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and I briefly practiced as a lawyer too, but it didn't last all that long. I worked in housing law for a while, and then I shifted into nonprofit work focused on community development and housing, for many decades before turning to writing.
It's so interesting to me that you had to understand not just complicated law, but German law about restitution and reunification and property and so forth. Did that affect the way you wrote this book at all, or was it just part of kind of getting your facts straight?
It was more just part of getting my facts straight, although I did spend, some time, a fair bit of time, thinking about how to convey those facts that were really necessary without getting too much into the gory details, which just weren't going to be interesting to anyone. And I will say, early drafts definitely had more gory details. It was almost like I was trying to prove to myself that I knew it. And then a lot of that I could just cut later because it really wasn't necessary for a reader to understand at that level of detail. But the property questions are a large part of the reason why I wrote this book in the first place. My parents actually moved from Illinois to former East Germany to Leipzig in the early 1990s. And so even long before I moved there myself with my own family, I'd been visiting them every year, sometimes multiple times a year. And so I kind of saw firsthand some of what was happening with property in those early years after reunification, and the way in which incentives were put in place for repair of property that needed to be repaired. There was an awful lot of neglected housing stock. But the people who had the money to take advantages of those incentives were rarely those who'd actually been living in those cities themselves. And so it was sort of a first step towards what I saw as one of the flaws of reunification. And I was just fascinated by it. How do you take these two countries that have been separate for 40 years and how do you bring them together again without creating this sort of sense of two different classes of citizens? I don't think that was achieved. And it was seeing that firsthand and seeing the ramifications of that decades later, with this sort of split in German society still being so very clear, that actually got me interested in this topic in the first place. So it all comes back to property law in a way.
As we have said, this is very much a family story, and you said you're interested in sort of how we are influenced by our history with a big H and a small H. Can you talk some more about that? How much do you think we can change from our family's influences or not?
Oh, that's a very deep question. That might be beyond. You might need like a psychologist for that. I guess I would just say, as somebody who has no expertise really on that, I would think it would just very much depend on the person. And I wanted to show that a little bit in the book. So I do think that between Kate and Martin, there are some pretty strong differences in terms of who is more easily able to move past
Mm.
what's happened and who is not, you know, who's sort of holding on to their traumas more tightly. They're both people who tend to look back, and they're both people who are very interested in their memories. But I do think there's a real difference there, and that was part of what I was trying to write about. I think that is, in fact, at the heart of their dispute, which, you know, is on the surface about a house, but, you know, like most disputes about houses, it's not really about the house at all. It's about
Right.
all sorts of other things.
At one point in the book, Kate says that family is a chance to be truthful, which I found to be a very interesting idea. Do you agree with her? And can you say more about that vis-a-vis the novel?
I mean, I would like to agree with her. I also think when she says that, you know, it's actually quite unlike her. In fact, I'm not sure I remember the exact moment, but because I think she says things like that a couple times, but at least in one of those instances, her husband teases her and says, you know, that sounds more like something he would say, he, the sentimental American, would say, and not Kate, the half German. So it's quite unlike her, but I think she is reacting to the fact that her family held a lot of secrets very tight, and that was clearly damaging. So, you know, whether it's always good to be share everything in family, I'm not so sure, but certainly I think there's a huge risk of secrets tearing apart families when they're held on to for too long.
Yes. Okay, on to your MFA program, which is the same one I went to, full disclosure. You're currently finishing up your MFA, right?
I'm in my last semester.
And did you finish this book before the MFA?
I did. I actually, in fact, knew that it was going to be published before I started the MFA. But just before I started the MFA. So when I decided to apply, I did not know that yet. And then in between application and deciding to attend is when I got the news about this novel.
Oh, and you still decided to attend the program. I'm just curious what many people kind of go through an MFA so they can come out with a book, but you kind of went into it with one. What, can you just talk a bit about that?
Yes, you know, I'm not entirely sure that had the timing been slightly different and had I gotten the news that restitution would be published before applying, I think there's a chance I wouldn't have applied. But once I applied and once I started thinking about it and once I got excited about it, I just there was no backing out for me. And I am so glad that I didn't back out because I have learned so much. I do think I'm a very different writer now, even than when I wrote Restitution. I'm probably we all become different writers at all times, so perhaps that's nothing, you know, that different. But I think the MFA really has shaped me. I think what I've learned most from the MFA is something that initially maybe sounds like a conflict, but really isn't, which is I've learned how to be incredibly open to all feedback, even feedback that I might initially think, well, that's crazy. I've learned to sort of take a deep breath, think about it, try to see if there's a kernel in it that is useful or maybe much more than a kernel. And then at the same time, as I've become more open, I've also become much more clear on what I want and much more stubborn. And I actually think that's a really great combination. And I think it's the MFA program that taught me that because, you know, you're exposed to so much different feedback, but at least in our program, I was also supported by faculty and mentors who were always trying to help me understand what it was I wanted to write, not write what they wanted to write. And so I loved that combination of openness and stubbornness that I think I've taken away from the program.
That is so well said. I feel the same about going through that program. Are you working on another book in your program?
Yes, I am. I am about I don't know how far through the first draft of a novel I am. I never quite know that till I get to the
Yeah.
end because I'm not an outline person. So I think I'm around three quarters of the way through a draft.
Yeah. That's great.
But we'll see. I won't know till I'm done.
Yes, I know. I know. How is the process different? Do you find that your writing is much different, that it's a different process doing it in this program versus on your own in Leipzig?
Yes, I mean, yes. Although I will say writing alone in Leipzig was, you know, that was very much a solo endeavor because as you said, I was writing in English. There weren't really a lot of writing groups around for people writing in English. But I did when I then came back after those years to Washington, D.C., where I, you know, live and have lived for a very long time. I did make a point of finding writing groups as I was doing the revisions on restitution. So that portion of it was not that lonely. And lonely is not the right word. I loved every minute of writing while I was in Leipzig, but it was solo.
Solo, yeah.
And then for this book, for the second book, I think it's different in a couple ways, some of which are related to the being part of a program, an MFA program, and some are not. So I think the MFA program has given me the sense that I am free to experiment in a way that I didn't necessarily feel I was before. I had a sense of what it should mean to write a novel. And now I am going into this thinking I can do whatever I want, especially in this first draft. I can play around with formats. I can play around with point of views. I don't have to worry about, you know, how consistent or how traditional it is. I'm just going to do what I want and I'll figure it out later. And that is something I think being around other authors in the MFA program who are really innovative in their writing has helped me feel that way. And then the other thing is, though, that in other ways it's a much harder book for me to write with Restitution with Kate and Martin. I knew how it started and I knew how it ended before I even started writing. There was a lot in the middle that I didn't know. I don't, as I said, I don't write outlines. So there was a lot that I had to figure out, but I knew the beginning and I knew the ending pretty much from the start. And so I had a sense of where I was heading. I don't really have that with the second book. And so it is both the joy of feeling like anything is possible, and also the terror of feeling like anything is possible.
All right, we are sadly running out of time. Is there anything that you would like to add, anything that you want to talk about with restitution that I haven't asked you about?
I think maybe just a little bit more, or maybe a little bit of enticement for audiences that aren't familiar with what happened in Germany after World War II, or at least not in detail, with what happened during the time that Germany was divided into East and West, and then also, you know, all the ways in which reunification was, of course, largely a wonderful thing, but also deeply flawed. I think there are actually a lot of lessons in that history, even for us today, lessons about how societies become divided. And I just think it's a real opportunity to get to know a different history from the one we're usually told.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's well said. And like you said, especially in the US, as we're having such divisions among ourselves these years.
Yes, absolutely. So I hope the book can introduce readers to this sort of new world and new era in a way that's less about sort of clear answers and rights and wrongs, and more about the incredible complexity and the many ways that, even with the best of intentions, things can go wrong, and you don't always have the best of intentions. And it's very worth trying to learn from people who've gone through some similar things in the past.
That was Tamar Shapiro, the author of Restitution. Tamar, thank you so much for joining us on the Gulf Coast Life Book Club.
Thanks so much. It was a real joy to talk to you.
Buy the book from Macintosh Books through bookshop.org. We'll have links at WGCU.org. Thank you for listening to the Gulf Coast Life Book Club. I'm your host, Carrie Barber, and we had production help today from Mike Canary. This is WGCU FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.